So what contributed to this cynicism? Well, a number of things. Even the editorial that followed the publication of the Mosaic data seemed to concentrate more on the issue of whether Duke's B patients should or shouldn't be treated, as opposed to the significant step forward conceptually and biologically that we see by adding oxaliplatin to 5-FU-based therapy. So what we had sincerely hoped, and perhaps we call this new paradigms, major new directions, perhaps a better title for this presentation would be Folklore, Fables, and Myths. We have to come to grips with our own demons and distinguish bias from what is scientifically driven. So we had sincerely hoped that the variations on a theme of B would play out in a minor key. Alas, it is playing out with cacophony that seems to be increasing in amplitude in a progressive way. Now, the FDA did not help us. On November 4th, 2004, on the strength of the Mosaic data, the FDA provided an approval for oxaliplatin to be used in the adjuvant setting. But they limited this indication only to stage 3 patients with colon cancer. In other words, what they did is their own unplanned subset analysis and decided to give an indication based on their own unplanned subset analysis. Could you imagine if we went to the FDA with an unplanned subset analysis from the NSABP and asked them for an indication? We would have been back on the next plane to Pittsburgh the very afternoon with a letter of rejection, probably via Philadelphia, since Pittsburgh is no longer a hub. What was the basis and justification and rationale for limiting this indication to stage 3s? Let's examine the Mosaic data. The hazard ratio is the same for stage 2 as it is for stage 3. Numerically, there are differences, obviously, because the prognosis is better for stage 2s compared to stage 3s. And yet, there is no suggestion that there's a biologic difference or that there's a difference in relative response for Bs versus Cs. So on what basis did they limit this indication? Moreover, the definitive test, the global test for interaction between treatment and tumor stage in the Mosaic trial, was not statistically significant. And it's never been statistically significant in any of our NSABP trials either, suggesting that biologically the two entities behave in the same manner relative to their response to chemotherapy. In 1999, Terry Mamounas and I and Sam Wien decided to do a combined analysis of 4 sequential trials from the NSABP, and in each trial, the treatment arm was superior to the control arm, CO1, CO2, CO3, CO4, and we combined them. So we had close to 2,000 patients in each arm. And of this, approximately 1,500 were Duke's B patients. And what did we see? In Duke's B, we saw a statistically significant advantage in favor of the superior arms. There was a 6% absolute difference relative to survival. And there was approximately a 7% difference for Duke C, highly statistically significant. And if we do a forest plot, we see that whether we look at relapse-free survival, that there is no difference. And that forest plot slide occurred randomly somewhere in the presentation earlier on, which you may or may not remember, but it doesn't really matter. So why do some of our most revered names in the field of therapy for adjuvant colon cancer lend their names to these kinds of publications, the ASCO recommendations on adjuvant therapy for stage 2 colon cancer? And the recommendation was not to treat. No sooner was this published in August of 2004 that we got the results of the QUASAR trial, a large trial randomizing 1,600 patients in each arm adequately powered. Observation versus efulucavorin plus levamisol. 92% of these patients were Dukes B. And we finally did see our statistically significant benefit relative to overall survival of approximately 3%. So the FDA's contention that there hasn't been a study to show a survival difference is somewhat outdated. So what happens